Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Picasso Encounters has been on view exclusively at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts this summer, and will close this coming Sunday, August 27th. Picasso Encounters investigates how Pablo Picasso's creative collaborations fueled and strengthened his art, challenging the notion of Picasso as an artist alone with his craft. The exhibition addresses his full stylistic range, the narrative themes that drove his creative process, the often neglected issue of the collaboration inherent in print production, and the muses that inspired him. I went to the museum recently and spoke about the exhibition with Jay Clark, the Clark's Manton Curator of Prints, Drawings, and Photographs.
The Clark has in its collection one of Picasso's very early, most important prints. So I always thought it would be interesting to do an exhibition from the very first great print he made through his entire career to some of the very last works of art that he made before he died. So on some level, that's what this exhibition does, is it gives you, it has a sort of overarching theme, but at the same time, it allows you to see the entire artist's career in one medium.
How many pieces are in the show?
There are 38 works in the show, 3 paintings, and 35 prints.
All right, what should we talk about first?
Well, one thing we could talk about is there's a big photo mural right when you walk in the exhibition. And one of the messages we wanted to give is to show how Picasso didn't just work as an artist alone in his studio. He often worked with others and collaborated. And in this large-scale photo, you can see Picasso looking at a print that has just been printed off a copper plate. And he's standing there with the printer, whose name is Jean Frayot. And they're looking at it, studying it with another friend of theirs who is a painter friend of Picasso's. And it shows them discussing the work of art and thinking about what to do next, maybe how to change the print, again, working in this very collaborative manner.
Which is not how you typically would think of Picasso.
No, you think of him, you know, with a paintbrush in hand or making a sculpture or doing something like that, mostly on his own. But at least in this medium, he could not have achieved what he did without specialized printers. The first painting in the exhibition shows it's a self-portrait of Picasso created during what is known as his blue period. And not surprisingly, the entire painting is an essay in blues, different shades of blue. And he's pretty young. He has a sort of helmet of hair. We're used to seeing him with no hair, but this is him when he's young. He's arrived in Paris not that long before. He's sort of gaunt looking because he's not quite the starving artist, but you know, he wasn't very well known at the time. He's just starting to make a name for himself. But we see him dressed in this large blue winter coat with a blue background, and everything is blue except for little tiny tinges of pink on his lips and the orange marks of his beard and his mustache.
On these walls, we see Picasso's experimentation.
Exactly. So in this first section of the exhibition, we see him working in a variety of styles, from naturalism, where you can see two people sitting at a table sharing a frugal meal of bread and wine. We go all the way through to pure abstraction just a number of years later, and then back to complete representation just a number of years later. So as we all know, he experimented with a number of different styles. So this first section really shows you all the differences in his working methods.
I can see from where we're standing, with my straight vision and peripheral, 7 pieces that look like they are done by 7 different artists.
Exactly. He's always sort of reinventing himself. He's sort of like Madonna in art form. This is the work that I mentioned before called the Frugal Repast, which is another way of saying of the very simple meal. And you see a sort of emaciated couple sitting at a table with this very meager substances in front of them. And this is one of the things he did early on in his career, was sort of paint and make prints of outsiders, circus performers, prostitutes, barflies, that kind of thing, because he himself was in some ways on the margins of society. He was a bohemian artist living in Montmartre.
And this is an etching.
This is an etching, exactly. This work, created just 2 years later, looks completely different. It's a woodcut, a very raw looking woodcut, and it's a portrait of his then girlfriend, Fernande Olivier, who was a model for many artists at the time, particularly Spanish artists, which Picasso was. But you can almost barely make out what this is. It's almost abstract. It's just a very few number of lines. He was studying African sculpture at the time and African masks, so it definitely has that quality to it, a sort of quote-unquote primitive look to it. And that was what interested him, especially as he made his now very well-known painting that's in the Museum of Modern Art called Les Demoiselles d'Avignon.
this is, like you said, it's hard to almost tell what you're seeing, but once you find the eyes, everything falls into place.
Yeah, and it looks vaguely like Fernande Olivier, and once you know what she looks like, you can see it in there, but it's really abstracted. It's not a likeness. He first called it Bust of a Young Woman, and it's only later it got the title Fernande Olivier because people figured out who the person was.
I see.
We're speaking with Jay Clark about the exhibition Picasso Encounters, which is on view at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through Sunday.
All right, so I'm interested in this portrait because it looks, and I know this is like a sort of naive thing to say about Picasso, because if you know more than the first basic thing, you know that he was an accomplished drawer in a lot of different styles. But this looks nothing like a woman's face that he would create when you know just that first glance of what you know about him.
Yes, I think that's often a surprise, that Picasso was actually an excellent draftsman. He went through formal artistic training like many artists of his generation in the 19th century, and he could draw beautifully. So the decisions he made to create something that looks very unattractive or fumbled or kind of haphazard was very much a decision on his part to create something in a certain way. So this is there's also a sort of personal side to this work, because it's a portrait of his first wife, Olga Kokhlova. And she was very elegant, so it's a, sort of an image of her kind of looking rather serenely at home. So I think there's that part to it, too, a sort of a personal connection that he's representing.
And this is dry point on paper. I don't know, I'm reading. Tell us what that is, what that sort of style is, and what it creates here.
Okay, so a dry point is a process of printmaking whereby you take a very sharp needle and you draw into the copper plate. And what that does is it's kind of like you're plowing a field. As you dig through the copper plate, bits of copper come up on either side, as you would, again, plowing a field, the sort of trough that is in the middle. And then you add ink to the plate, and the ink only adheres to the bits that are sort of sticking up. So it creates this sort of furry quality, not a very straight linear line, but a sort of hazy furry line. And you can only print a certain number of impressions from that, because the copper is relatively smooth and it pushes down those furrows, those burr that comes off the plate.
And then you couldn't re-furrow them because of the way just metal breaks down. It would just flatten in a different way.
That's a good question. You probably could do it again, but it would mess up all the lines, and
sure,
it wouldn't look nearly as good, I think.
What do we have here?
One of the things that Picasso represented throughout his life was bullfights. He was Spanish, but he was also very macho, like Ernest Hemingway, and they loved the bullfight and the sort of blood and gore and all the adventure of being in the crowd. So what we see here is Picasso himself is the bull. And there's a woman, a very unattractive woman horse, with this grotesque face, who is stabbing him, goring. He's being gored by this the horse, who is supposedly his wife, Olga Kokhlova. And
represented very differently over there.
There, exactly. This is like the ugly version of her. This is when after their relationship had started to fall apart. And riding astride Olga Kokhlova is Picasso's then mistress, Marie-Thérèse Walter, who's being bucked off the horse. So it's sort of a sort of biographic essay on the one hand, and yet on the other hand, if you look very closely, you can see all these strangely abstracted figures in the crowd, these funny little faces popping out all over the composition.
It's almost, they're almost like cartoons, but I didn't see them at first at all. You had to point them out to me for me to find them.
It's sort of during a moment of surrealism where people didn't need to look like people, but as you said, the more you look at it, you can see something face-like coming out of the crowd, if it doesn't look exactly like a face.
This is an etching on paper with, there's many more lines than I normally think of for Picasso.
Yes, there's some areas where it's very linear and not many lines, and then other areas where there's a lot of lines. So it's really an unbelievable work. And this one is actually very crisp. This is from the Museum of Modern Art. There's other printings of this that don't look nearly as crisp and contrasty. So this is a fairly large-scale print, probably among the best-known of Picasso's career, and it's called Minotauro Macchia, which is a kind of a made-up word that's about the land of the Minotaur. So the Minotaur we see here is a bull with a giant bull's head on a man's body. And he is trying to keep the light of a candle away from him, held by a little girl who looks very innocent. So this is the land of the Minotaur. There's a man, sort of Christ-like figure, leaving the composition on the left. and a woman astride another horse, again Marie-Thérèse Walter, his mistress of the time. But here we see her rather full-breasted and with a full stomach because she's actually pregnant. And this is the moment he's capturing.
I'm going to try to make this point and am ready to fumble through it. So here we go. This is very, very different from Guernica, but the way that the animal figures are tormented reminds me of that.
Absolutely. It definitely looks like Guernica. And this is around the exact same moment as right before he creates the Guernica mural. And I think also the play of darks and lights is very, you're sort of like on a stage set in a way.
And the way like a horse's head doesn't go that direction.
Exactly. And the way the bull's head is on top of a body doesn't quite work anatomically either. But once you look at it, the composition makes sense.
Should we talk about Paloma?
Sure. This is a very different kind of image. You mentioned earlier that Olga Koklova is very beautifully drawn. This is a little bit more abstract. It's a portrait of his daughter, Paloma Picasso, when she was a little girl holding a doll. And Paloma is probably better known today as a jewelry designer for Tiffany, but then she was Picasso's little girl holding a doll. But here you see, she's very sensitively rendered with this cute page boy haircut. Portraits that he created of his children were usually very sympathetic.
Can you imagine being Picasso's daughter?
No, I think that would be very, very difficult to be the child of a famous person. And their relationship was even further complicated because her mother, Françoise Gillot, wrote a very unflattering book about her time with Picasso called Life with Picasso. And when it came out, Picasso refused to see his children ever again. This is a fairly famous image called the Dove, and it's in some ways it's always considered a symbol of peace. It was created for a peace congress held not long after the Second World War ended. And even though it looks like a dove, it's supposedly, in reality, a pigeon, because Picasso drew a lot of pigeons throughout his life, as did his father, drew and painted pigeons.
It is, and this is a lithograph printed from zinc plate on paper.
Yes, lithographs can be created on lithographic stones, or they can be created on zinc plates, which are chemically treated to act like a lithographic stone.
I don't understand that at all.
Nobody does, no.
Science and art, man.
No, lithography is incredibly complicated as a process, and when I was in graduate school, I was having to write about lithography, and I couldn't figure it out. And then I finally went down the street to RISD. I was at Brown for grad school and watched artists make lithographs, and that's how I understood it. It's one of those things you really have to see it to understand the magic of it. But it's a very one-to-one relationship with drawing. So if the Paloma looks just like a charcoal drawing, it's because that's basically what it is, a printed drawing.
That's helpful.
Picasso Encounters is on view at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through Sunday, August 27th.
We're near the end here.
Yes, the last room of the exhibition.
And this is a lino cut.
Yes, so Picasso later in his career started making lino cuts with a printer whose name was Arnera in the south of France. And first he started making them for posters, for bullfight posters primarily. And then he became very interested in creating them for his own art. And the lino cut is from a linoleum block, which is either, you probably see it in your kitchen, linoleum flooring, or in a bathroom. But this is a larger block. And he would cut up these linoleum blocks and then print them in various colors on the same sheet of paper.
So it's kind of like a handmade stamp.
Exactly, like potato prints that you make, that some children make in school sometimes.
Or related to a woodcut, but just the most complicated thing ever when you add all the layers.
Yeah, definitely related to a woodcut, much easier and softer to carve, which is sometimes why it's associated with children's art, because it's not so difficult as a woodcut to carve out pieces of wood.
And this one is called Still Life with Glass Under the Lamp.
Yes, it's a beautiful image with really popping reds and popping yellows with this bright lamp over the whole scene. It's, in some level, it's cubist, and other ways it's very representational. It's kind of a combination of the two.
I can't believe the light source that he accomplishes in this medium.
It's really amazing. He uses the white of the paper underneath everything to be the brightest source of light. So the brightest source of light is really the only part that isn't printed at all.
It's incredible.
So this is one of the last works of art he made. It's called 347, and it's a series of 347 prints that he made over the course of about 5 or 6 months. So later in his career, two printing brothers, the Crummeling brothers, basically moved their print shop from Paris to right near Picasso. And so he started making numerous etchings, and this is one of them. And this is called Picasso, His Art and His Public. And at this time in his career, he's really looking back on his own life and his own career. And the entire series is about him in the studio or him working in various places. So here we see the artist in a circus ring. And the public are the people that are at the performance. And there's a woman riding on a horse in the middle, which is probably his first love when he was a boy, who was an equestrian in Spain. And then we have sort of circus strongman on one side. And then Picasso, the sort of short, balding man. And then next to him has been identified as his friend Jean Cocteau, who had died a few years before.
He made, you said, 347 prints in half a year?
Yes, he made this very large series of 347 prints in about a five-month period.
That's outrageous. So much productivity.
Incredibly prolific, even at 87 years old. So another thing he did quite often towards the end of his life is he started sort of taking on the old masters. He was making prints after Rembrandt, after Rubens, after Cranach, after Manet. And as you might remember from a few years ago, there was an exhibition at the Clark called Picasso Looks at Degas. So here in this print, he's taking on Rembrandt. So Picasso as a printmaker is taking on Rembrandt's most famous print, which is called Ecce Homo, which in the Bible is Behold the Man. It's the moment where Pontius Pilate presents Christ to the people and asks the crowd to decide what to do, and they say to crucify him. So we see the crowd looking very bizarre and surreal with a lot of grotesque faces all looking right at the stage where Christ and Pontius Pilate are. But the difference between this and Rembrandt's print is there's naked women in bathtubs on the stage, which you definitely didn't see in Rembrandt's print, but you see in Picasso's. Yeah. So this is a portrait of Dora Maar, who was Picasso's lover after he ended his relationship with his first wife, Olga Koklova, and then his mistress, Marie-Thérèse Walter. And Dora Maar was a very well-known surrealist photographer. And here we see her with a sort of black coif of hair, this brightly colored painting. She's got red, pointy fingernails and sort of spiky lines all around her. So she has a sort of aggressive, very strong personality, which shows through in the painting.
I feel like you can also tell that he found her very beautiful, though.
She was a very beautiful woman, absolutely. I think even in that the surreal, partly cubist way he paints her, her beauty comes through.
And there's a, it's funny, the mix of aggression, but her expression is sort of soft.
Exactly, her expression is soft, but everything around her is sort of jagged. So he uses the face of Dora Maar in another series of works he creates after he does the Guernica painting, the Guernica mural. And in the Guernica mural, there's one woman who has her head thrown back. She's screaming in agony and holding a dead baby. And so he takes that particular motif from this giant mural and reconceives it as a different series called Weeping Woman. So in this print here from a private collection, we see her crying, weeping with a handkerchief to her face, nails coming out of her eyes, and very sharp fingernails like the Dora Maar painting, just in complete agony and pain.
It's tremendously upsetting.
Yeah, they're very strong images. There's a German artist who's making prints around this time named Otto Dix, and I feel there's a similarity here. Beautiful images and beautiful technique, but horrifying subject matter. His subject matter was also war. So these are two portraits of Picasso's second wife, with whom he had the longest relationship. Her name was Jacqueline Roch, and they met in the south of France. And here on the left, we see a lithograph of her with this beautiful flowered blouse. Very serene, very calm images. You can imagine them just, being home and him capturing this image. And the painting on the right is another portrait of Jacqueline, but she's knitting. And it's a painting that's all in black and white and gray. When you think of Picasso, you often think of paintings that are in color. But he did an entire series in black and white and gray, which we might call a grisaille painting. She has that very beautiful Mediterranean almond-shaped eyes and dark hair. And she was very supportive of him. She very much helped him in his career late in his life.
Tell me about this, our woman at the window.
So this is a depiction of his partner of many years, François Gillot, who was the mother of Paloma, and they had a boy as well. Gillot said she was the only woman to have ever left Picasso. And she wrote, sort of, as I mentioned before, an unflattering portrayal of him in a book called Life with Picasso. And here you see her just about the time of the demise of their relationship, where she's staying at a window with her hands pressed against the window as if she's trying to get out or she's trying to keep someone from coming in. And soon thereafter, she left Picasso with her children in tow.
Jay Clark is the Manton Curator of Prints, Drawings, and Photographs at the Sterling and Francine Clark Art Institute. Picasso Encounters is on view at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts through Sunday. clarkart.edu to learn more. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.